Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, this is episode 102, kind of odd. I never really thought to announce episode numbers in any of the episodes until I hit the 100th. Anyway, as I said, this is our 102nd episode. I guess we can get into the news. We now have an app for Windows 8 phones and desktops, which makes sense since we have a podcast app for both Android and Apple. If you don't know, the apps do give you streaming access to the show, like every other way you can listen, but there are bonus features for each episode, which are the papers that we read via PDF and Masonic wallpapers for your mobile device. All proceeds go right back into the show. Links to those apps are on our website, www.wcypodcast.com. There are some exciting things happening with the Midnight Freemasons, or at least I'm researching some things for it. If found to be a good idea by the other Midnight Freemasons, we will see where it goes, so keep your ears and your eyes open for future news. I'm sure you know, but in case you don't, please check out the Midnight Freemasons blog at midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. We post new articles every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all year long. It's a lot of effort on the part of all the contributors, and it's all to present awesome articles for you guys. If you missed it, I ran one last Wednesday about my trip to Los Angeles. Anyway, let's get right into the paper for this week, shall we? So this paper is called Guardians of the Gates. It was published in 1924 by Unknown. Any master mason speedily discovers that his masonry is not all getting. It is also a matter of giving. A good mason must serve as well as be served. When masonry is well served by her brethren, she grows, thrives, and prospers. When she is ill served, a lodge starves, thins out in quality, gets stagnant, and sometimes dies. When your application was received by the lodge, the master appointed a committee of three brethren whose duty it was to investigate the truth of the statements you made, to find out what manner of a man you are, and recommend to the lodge what action it should take. Following their report, a ballot was taken on your application. You were a good man. Your committee reported in favor of your application, and you were elected. You may not have known of their investigation. In small towns, it is not always necessary to see the applicant directly. Generally, he is known to one or more of the brethren, and his reputation can easily be established from other sources. In larger centers, one or more members of the committee, in addition to other work, will look up the applicant for a personal interview on the accuracy of the report of committees on petitions, and on the fidelity with which they discharge their obligations depends on the purity of the lodge and the character of its personnel. When you are appointed upon an investigation committee, you may take it as a signal honor that your master has confidence in your good sense, your loyalty, and your freedom from prejudices. He believes that you will faithfully discharge the most important Masonic duty he can give you. Do you therefore take the work seriously and do it faithfully? By all means, see the applicant, unless you are completely satisfied from interviews with his friends, enemies, employers, and associates as to exactly what kind of man he is. Some member of the committee must see him, or know him, of course. All members should, if possible. Never be satisfied merely because you find nothing against an applicant. Masonry wants positive, not negative virtues. It is not enough that he hasn't been caught and jailed yet. He must be the kind the law doesn't want. It is not enough that he has no enemies. He should have friends, and many of them. But it is not necessary to point against a man that he has enemies. It is for you to decide whether such an enemy is justified by character and actions which would be prejudicial to the lodge where the candidate is admitted. It is not only your right, but your duty to inquire strictly into the reasons which led an applicant to desire masonry. There are many reasons, most of them good. Those which indicate that the applicant would not make a good mason will occur at once to anyone. The petitioner wants a membership in order to promote his business, is seeking something only for sordid reasons. The man who desires merely to satisfy his curiosity is not worthy of the knowledge he seeks. The applicant who hopes, through influential friends acquired in the lodge, to secure place and power would prostitute for selfish ends the institution he seeks to enter. Many men will be inarticulate as to why they want to become a Mason. Many others will have many reasons. All combined, you'll be hardly able to disentangle one from the other. Be sure that you dig deeply enough to understand the secret springs which move a man, for on the reasons why he wishes to become a member of our great order will depend, in large measure, the sort of man he will be. Among the good reasons for wishing to be a Mason are a sincere desire to help others, a respect and veneration for fraternity which has been beloved by so many great and good men, a patriotism which would follow in the footsteps of Washington, a love for one's fellow men, a desire to be with many friends in activities which they enjoy, a hunger to follow where a father, uncle, or blood brother has gone, and a desire to secure the moral and social welfare of his loved ones. But it is not a good reason if a man desires to join a lodge because he believes his family may be in want and he hopes the lodge will help. The older applicant, the more closely his reason should be investigated. A man of 60 who wants to be a Mason must explain why, so anyone can understand. This because there are men past their 70 who hope the fraternity will put them in one of their homes, or otherwise relieve them of their care themselves. Such a reason, of course, is wholly unworthy, and no such applicant would receive consideration at the hands of any intelligent committee. On the other hand, the older man who has waited for his son, or who has only now been able to gratify a long ambition, or who has come to believe that only in real fraternity is there to be found the best in friendship. These are to be admitted, if all else is well, without regard to advanced age, so long as the statutory requirement is satisfied. Make your investigation alone, unaided, without reference to other committeemen. Make your search promptly. It is not fair to the applicant or to the lodge to dilly-dally about it. If you can't serve, say no. If you do serve, serve well, serve wholeheartedly and promptly. You will be well paid. A master's wages await you when you shall have done your work. Paid not in any mental coin or anything of material value, but in the finer coin of consciousness, of honorable and responsible duty, well done. The inner happiness which comes when you may truly say to yourself, Masonry has been helped forward by my work. The knowledge that your lodge is a better lodge because you have paid back, in small measure at least, the interest and the labor your brethren invested in you. The Committee on Investigation, appointed for the purpose of giving to the lodge first-hand and Masonic knowledge of character, abilities, attainments, and general reputation of applicants for the degrees, is not only a Mason's, though it is the most important committee work that a Mason may have to do. Next to it, in importance, is the work of the committee sent out from the lodge to examine a visiting brother. Only Masons thoroughly familiar with the lodge work should be asked to serve on examination committees, the duty of which is to ascertain if those who would visit your lodge are regular Masons in good standing. At least two brethren must compose such a committee, and of these, one is usually in charge, the other being merely a witness. There is no law covering this. Both may ask questions. Indeed, both must be fully satisfied before the visitor is brought into the lodge. Usually, the first procedure is to examine the documents of the visitor. Formerly, many lodges issued Grand Lodge certificates, which were held to be prima facie, evidence that the possessor had been regularly initiated, passed, and raised. The possession of such a certificate was held essential before an examination could be conducted. Now, however, many lodges do not issue such certificates, contenting themselves with a receipt for dues or a good standing card or both. In few jurisdictions, Masons are refused admittance to a lodge because he does not possess a Grand Lodge certificate. The good standing card, however, is usually considered essential. It is always wise to ask the visiting brother to sign his name and compare it with the signature written upon the good standing card, having stateside themselves that the visitor is in good standing in his lodge. The committee retires with the visitor to a private room for the examination. You are not to be nonplussed if the visitor here demands to see your credentials, or even to ask to look at the charter of your lodge. He has the same right to be cautious that you have, the same right to assure himself that this is indeed a regular lodge working under a charter, as you have to assure yourselves that he is a regular Mason and not an impostor. It is required not only that he take an oath to the fact that he is a Mason and that there is no reason known to him why he should not visit with his brethren, but that you, the committee, take the same oath. And this should give you the keynote to the procedure of examination. It is not an inquisition in which the committee subjects the visitor to inquiry. It is a conference of brethren in which two groups satisfy each other of their mutual brotherhood. After the tiler's oath, the committee may ask the visiting brother any question relative to Masonry which occurs to them. He has the same right to ask questions. If both parties exercise their right to the fullest extent, an examination could take all evening. As a general practice, the visitor does not ask questions, Presumably, he has satisfied himself in other ways, that his questioners are Masons and that the lodge he would visit is a regular lodge. All right, there you go. Some notes in case you ever put on an investigation committee. Now, I did want to mention our podcast partners quickly, Far From Centered Podcast with Brother Rob Lewis and also the Winding Stairs Podcast with Brother Juan Sepulveda. Links to both of those shows are on our website. I already mentioned the apps earlier in the show, but we are also on Stitcher Smart Radio, which is another option for streaming, but they also give you personalized stream of content based on your likes and dislikes, and you can download it and register for free using the promo code WhenceKamey with no spaces. When you do that, Stitcher sends us a dollar to help out the show. If you're not into apps, you can also visit our donation button, which all donations go right back into the show. It's run through PayPal, so it's completely secure. I'd also like to mention our affiliate, Onnit Labs, which makes some great supplements and fitness equipment. They make Alpha Brain, which you've probably heard of, and several other truly amazing supplements, which literally make you a better balanced human. It's really good stuff. No caffeine, non-GMO, etc. This stuff is just about the healthiest foods and supplements that you can buy. If you don't like anything that you buy, once you get it, it doesn't work for you, whatever reason, just let them know. They'll give you all your money back, including the shipping, and they don't even want their product back. It's that easy. So if you want to get some good stuff and support the show, go to our site and click on the Onnit links on the right-hand side of the page. It's about halfway down. And order something. Nothing is marked up at all. It's the same price as it would be if you went directly to them, but additionally, a portion of the sale gets deposited into the show's funds to help offset the cost of hosting, audio files, bandwidth, and anything the show needs to survive, basically. And if you use the coupon code WCY at checkout, you'll get 10% off, which usually covers the shipping plus a bit more. They also just started a points program, so for every dollar that you spend, you get a point, and the points get added up so that you can redeem them for other cool stuff by Onnit. Anyway, like I said, check it out. It's a great way to support the show and support yourself. This week's famous Freemason is Wallace Beery. Born April 1st, 1885, Wallace Fitzgerald Beery was an American actor best known for his portrayal of Long John Silver in Treasure Island, produced in 1934, as well as more than 200 other movie roles for over a 36-year span. Running away from school to join a circus when he was a small boy, he later became an elephant trainer. He rarely had an opportunity to showcase his fine baritone voice during his film career. Most of it was in silent films. He was initiated in Blaney Lodge No. 271 in Illinois. He did pass away on April 15, 1949. Some interesting facts about Beery was that he owned and flew his own airplanes, one a Howard DGA-11, and on April 15, 1933, he was commissioned a lieutenant commander in AVS USNR. At the NRAB in Long Beach. A noteworthy episode in Beery's life is chronicled in the fifth episode of Ken Burns' documentary, The National Parks, America's Best Idea. In 1943, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an executive order creating Jackson Hole National Monument to protect the land adjoining the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. Local ranchers outraged at the loss of lands they wanted to graze and comparing this action of FDR's to Hitler's taking of Austria were led by the aging Beery as they protested by herding 500 cattle across the monument lands without a permit. Of course, Wallace Beery died, as I said, and his Beverly Hills, California home of a heart attack. He was interred in the Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Glendale, California. For his contributions to the film industry, Wallace Beery has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at 701 Hollywood Boulevard. That's it for this week. Please check out all of our businesses located under the Masonic Businesses area on the webpage, www.wcypodcast.com. There are books by brothers like Rob Lewis, Todd Creason, and also Charles Harper. There is product research gear and also PB&J water. Let them know that we sent you over there by putting it in the notes. Please remember to rate the show on iTunes, find us on Facebook, and follow on Twitter. We're also on Tumblr, Pinterest, Google+, WordPress, MySpace, all under the email address WCYPodcast, or you might find it under Whence Came You. We have some video channels as well on YouTube and Vimeo, and I'm working on a new project as well for those, but it's going to take a bit to finish. But rest assured, it'll be there soon. Stay on the level, everybody. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.